it's easier for me to know the break between the two.
That's okay.
But yeah, go. I mean, because, you know, honestly, what you just said, I could, like, when I listen to someone speaking on for the podcast, I'm always like, okay, he just said the last words of the interview. I could see it's a perfect wrap up what he just said.
Yeah. I hope you'll be able to cut things well, you know, because I speak fast and blah, 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 and I'm not stopping myself. So it's hard when you do some editing afterward. It's a little bit hard.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the audio only is much easier, though, than editing.
Yes,
with pictures.
Yeah.
And we're both in pretty quiet spots, I can tell. So the room tone is the same.
Yeah. I'm in my office, so it's... And there's snow outside, so it catches all the sounds. So.
Yeah, and I went into I took my normally I record in an office with a big, you know, the big podcasting microphone, but yeah. It's funny, I updated that computer to the new Macintosh system, and that now it blocks my call recorder. So I had to switch to the laptop. So I went to the back bedroom where I know there won't be any cars driving by or anything.
Yes.
But yeah, well, so for some fun, and I imagine you're going to name a lot of films I haven't heard of, but, you want to tell me what some of your favorites are?
Yeah, I have a favorite movie. It's from Emir Kusturica and the name is Underground. I don't know if you heard about it.
I don't.
Oh my God. You have to watch this movie. Oh my God. It's an amazing movie. I watched it when I was, it was in, I was at, still in high school, so I think it was in 98 or 99. It's a 90s movie, actually. And this director, he's from Serbia, but at the time it was Yugoslavia.
Oh my gosh, you heard that?
Yeah, are you okay?
I tell you, I was so sick, but when I hit this mute button, your audio drops out, so I don't want to... There are a few times I clicked mute to cough. I'm just about healthy now, but I have a little lingering cough. So I brought up Underground, it's 95.
Yeah, but, okay, 95. Actually, it was done, 95 was the year of the war over there. It was having, you know, big war,
Yeah, the Civil War. It was the former Yugoslav republics.
Former Yugoslavian, and it was mostly between Croatian and Serbian. And the movie takes place... in the Second World War, and it's the story of two best friends that are communists that are fighting in the resistance against the Nazis that invaded Yugoslavia, and so they're, you know, they're doing some terrorist attacks and against the Nazis, against the Germans, and blah blah blah, and. The Germans they pull out because the English people are coming, or I don't remember who came in Yugoslavia. I saw the movie last time I saw the movie was 10 years ago. So, but what I can tell you about the movie is that one of this guy makes the other guy believe that the war is not over because he's hiding in his basement because he was the Nazi police was looking for him. So this guy is in the basement of the other guy, and at the end of the war, his friend makes him believe that the war continues for years and years and years because he wants to be the only one to have the medals and all the thanks from the new communist government. And he makes his friend believe that the war goes on for 25 and 30 years.
Wow.
So, and at the end, he comes out of the basement, and is the end of their friendship as the end of the country Yugoslavia in the 90s. So there's a parallel that has been done between the friendship of this guy. One of them is Serbian, one of them is Croatian. I'm not sure. Last time I saw it was 10 years ago. But is the parallel between, you know, all the division, and it's very beautiful. The shots are great. The picture is amazing. This guy and the music, the composer of this film is Goran Bregovic, and he is one of my favorite movie composer. His music are crazy. It's like a whole world. It's like mix of Eastern European music with Jewish music, but modernized. It's unbelievable. You have to watch it. So yeah.
Great. Well, it's not the only reason I have people do the four questions. I mean, it's really fun for everyone to find out everyone's favorites, but it is great that I get to find out these movies I have to look up.
Yeah. And another one is the most recent one is La Grande Bellezza, in English is Big Beauty, from Sorrentino. It won the foreign best foreign movies Academy Award in 2014, and I took a lot of inspiration in this movie for the blogger.
Really?
Yeah. This movie is. You have to wait. If you have the opportunity to watch it on big screen, and not a regular TV, it changes everything. The first time I watched it, I wasn't sure. I was like, "What this movie is about?" It's very long, you know. But the shots, it's like watching piece of art for two hours and a half. So on the first time I didn't like it that much. I was like, I don't know what this is about. And I watched it the second time, third time, fourth time. And every time I watch it, I love it more and more and more. And one day I watched it two times in a row. And it's still a pleasure. I watch it once per 6 months now, just because it's first of all, it takes place in Rome. And Rome is an amazing and beautiful city. And when you're like me living in the North Pole, you need to watch, you know, beautiful picture of, you know, palm trees and, you know, pines and you know, it makes you happy.
So just for this reason, there's nothing like a visit to Rome.
Exactly. So those are my two favorite movies, actually.
Oh, excellent. Well, those are good. I'm planning to see both. Sounds like you have the kind of taste that I would agree with.
Cool.
Well, so the second question is a film you thought was underrated.
Okay, so underrated movie, I don't know if you saw it, it's Cloud Atlas.
I did see it, and I agree that it was underrated.
Exactly. I mean, the critics and the publics were, you know, had something bad to say about the movie. And when I decided to see the movie, I was with a friend of mine, and she told me, I want to go to the movie. I said, oh, what do you want to watch? She said, oh, Cloud Atlas. And I said, oh, I don't want to watch it. I saw critics very bad and blah, blah, blah. No. And she told me, I had a good feeling about the movie. We should give it a try. We came out of the theater transformed. It was like being hit by a bus. It changed my perspective of life. I didn't read the book, so I didn't know the story. But I mean, it was very touching, very moving. All those lives connected to each other. You know, the I don't know if you believe in, you know, past life and future life, and you know, and it went down to me and it touches me. So yeah,
I agree. I had the same experience where I had heard how bad it was, so I didn't see it in theaters. And you know, like you said, all the all the fans of The Matrix and this and that criticized it.
Yeah, because it wasn't really a science fiction movie. It was more like a philosophical.
No, but it was visually stunning.
Exactly. Yeah, stunning. It was stunning.
But when I finally saw it, I think I might have even watched it on HBO maybe or Netflix or Amazon.
Yeah.
But I watched it at home. And I just couldn't believe how good it was. I was like, "Wow! I do wish I'd seen it in the theater."
Yeah, well, it's amazing. We're lucky here with my boyfriend. We have a home theater with a screen, big screen. So you know, when we watch a movie at home, we watch it on the wall. So it's like we don't go to theater anymore. Actually, I shouldn't say that, but yeah.
No, most of us. Yeah, actually, my home theater is inadequate, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
and I see embarrassingly few films. I'll go see, what was it? You know, if I know it's a film I have to see on the big screen, actually, like, I'll make a point of seeing it, like, on an IMAX.
Yeah. Like, for example, La La Land was a movie to see in theater for me. It was like the images were really beautiful. So watching it on TV, you know.
Yeah, although it's still good, I think that's I appreciated what you said about your favorite, that it gets better every time you see it. Because I think a lot of great films get better every time. I think it was Underground.
Yeah.
And every time I see La La Land, I like it even more.
Yeah, I saw it just once, and I'm planning to watch it again because I love LA so much, and it makes me think, you know, of LA, so I miss it a lot. So, yeah.
I like hearing someone say they love LA.
I miss the Cobb salad.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have Cobb salad here. So each time I go back to California, first time I do when I get out of the plane, driving to Ventura Boulevard, I don't remember the name of the place, but there's an amazing place in Sherman Oaks, and they do an amazing Cobb salad.
Is that the Cheesecake Factory?
I think it is.
And the Cobb salad is so big, you could eat it for 2 days.
Yeah, it's a big plate. Yeah, I think it is.
It's right at the corner of Ventura and Sepulveda.
Oh man,
well,
there's a courtyard.
Yes, that's actually my girlfriend and I used to live in an apartment building across the street from that courtyard.
Oh my god, this is the best.
And she eats the Cobb salad, and we walk across. We would just walk across. Anytime she was in a bad mood, I'd say, "You want to walk across the street and get a Cobb salad?"
Oh my god, this is for me, this is one of the best places in LA. So
I love that place too. I miss it because we moved into a beautiful house up in the hills, and now I can't walk there anymore. But we're better off in the house, believe me.
We're in Hollywood Hills?
No, in the hills of Sherman Oaks, just right up.
That's amazing. Do you have a mid-century house?
Kind of. It was built in 1957, yeah.
Oh my god!
But it's ranch style, so it doesn't have that architecture that most people associate with mid-century.
Yeah.
But it's a one-story ranch house. You know the Sepulveda Pass when you take Sepulveda, you know, over into the city.
Yes.
Like we're Mulholland and Sepulveda.
Oh, perfect! Yeah, that's a great place. That's a great place.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll come over for instead of us meeting for coffee or something when you come in the winter. You'll just come hang out.
I'll bring you wine from Quebec.
Oh, perfect.
I know that you have good wine in California, but I'll bring you an Italian wine that I know that you cannot buy in North America.
Yeah, and actually, so you're French Canadian, but is your family Italian?
My mom is French Canadian and my dad is Italian.
See, I understand now. Now I know I understand your name now.
Yes. So yeah, I'm. You know, I come from many cultural background.
Yeah, and because of my extensive travels, this has nothing to do with film. So obviously, I'll be editing this part out. But Yeah, the French wines. I was in South Africa and went to Franschhoek.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been down there, but they couldn't make wine to save their lives, the Dutch down there. So they got some of the Huguenots. The same people.
Les Huguenots, oui.
Yeah. Who escaped. So they brought some, so they came down and started a wine really? Country in South Africa, and they make great wine down there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised at all that Montreal wine, that there's some great Quebec wine.
Yeah. So there's also the you had another question.
There's two more. So the second question is a film you think is overrated.
Okay, so maybe you're gonna shoot at me, and if people hear about this, friends of mine, they're gonna shoot at me as well. But for me, I'm gonna say it slowly. Pulp Fiction, I think it's a little bit overrated, and I'll tell you why. I gotta be honest. I have to acknowledge the fact that it's great directing, that the images are very nice, but the story, I was so bored. I don't know why. It didn't touch me at all. And I think that violence for violence, it's, I don't know, it's not for me. And I still don't understand. I had many debates with friends and family that, you know, more than love, it's like a god, they're in love with this movie, and I still fight with them, because I don't know, I watched it just once, and maybe I have to watch it again, but yeah, so that I would say Pulp Fiction, even though I really love Tarantino's work, and I love all the other movies, but this one, it's not for me.
That's fine. And by the way, I don't shoot at anyone ever for their choices. And actually, I always really enjoy if one of my all-time favorites is somebody else's overrated, or they just say they hate it. I always think it's great. I love that. I love the lack of universality. You know,
yes,
I love the wide range. And amusingly, I'll tell you, you're not the first person to say that Pulp Fiction is your really? Overrated. And actually, amusingly, the other person is a Parisian-based filmmaker who is a judge for the festival, and he really liked The Blogger, as I recall.
I don't know. Maybe it's a French thing. I don't know. It's just. You know, even if I'm French Canadian, I'm very close to French culture. I have to say that, because in Montreal, all my years as a student, and I went to a French school, but from France, because my parents were planning to move back to Italy and Northern Ireland, so I had to go to school with a European background to be able to be, you know, if I'll be introduced to the European system, much more easy than if I was going to a French-Canadian school. So I'm really close to the French culture. My accent in French is a mix between French accent and French-Canadian accent. It's not like 100% French-Canadian. And I used to live in Paris. So I love France. I love their culture. And I love their wit. I think it's the wittiest nation on earth. They're very witty. So, and this is what I love about them.
And, I'll have to share the word. And, that's interesting. So you, when you're in Paris, is your accent convincingly Parisian?
No, actually, they know. Parisian know that I'm from Montreal. But they're like, you're from Montreal, but you're not, you know, you don't speak. We know that you're from Montreal, but it's not that strong. And here in Montreal, people know that I'm from here, but they're like, you have a snobbish accent. For them here in Montreal, I have a snobbish accent.
Right.
So, but it's not my fault, actually. It's really not my fault. And you know, when I was young, when I was 10 years old, every Monday I was singing a national anthem, and it was the French national anthem because I was in a French school. So I wasn't singing the Italian national anthem, I wasn't singing the Canadian national anthem, I was singing the French national anthem. So really, I talked about this with my therapist, because I have I'm mixed up culturally. I don't know, you know, what's my country, you know? And so now that I'm married to my boyfriend, I'm really happy because he's French and I'll be able to get the French citizenship.
Oh, that is great.
Yes.
All right, well, the last question, and I'm sure you're going to name something I haven't heard of, but the last question is a lesser-known film that people should seek out.
Yes, so this one will be an Israeli movie. I love what Israelis do in movies and series lately. I think it's a small country, and they do amazing stuff for the size of their country. And this movie, it went really under the radar, and it's called The Bubble. The Bubble stands for the nickname of Tel Aviv. It's a place that is disconnected to the realities of the Middle East, the war, and you know, the hatred. And so people who live in Tel Aviv are in this bubble, Arabs and Jews, Christian, Muslim, Jews, we don't care, gay, straight, they're there and they live in peace together. This is what their city is called, the bubble. And the movie is about two gay men. One is an Israeli and the other one is a Palestinian who fall in love, and they cannot live their love because they're not from the same world. And so it's a very touching movie.
Wow, sounds excellent. Okay, I'll have to see that.
And you know what? I discovered this movie. I bought it. I bought the DVD in 2009 in Burbank. I don't know if the store exists anymore. It was a store where there's a lot of electronics, and you can buy TVs, and there was a place, a bucket full of DVDs, and I was looking for European DVDs because I was homesick and I wanted to look for a French DVD, and I fell on this, and it was written half in Hebrew. And I said, an Israeli movie. It's been a long time and I watched it. I bought it for $5, went back home, watched it, and I was like, oh my God, just bought a masterpiece.
Wow, that's fantastic. Was that like, I'm just going to guess, was it like the store like Best Buy or Circuit City?
Something no, like that? It's not. It wasn't Best Buy. Circuit City. It was a store with the outside of the store was kind of a rock. I don't know if like the shape like was like gray, dark gray, and
fries. Yes. The one that's built like like a rock, like a spaceship is crashing through it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the fries.
Where is it? Is it in Burbank?
Yeah, it's very close to the Burbank Airport.
Yes, it's to Bob Hope Airport.
Yeah, Bob Hope Airport. Yeah, how funny that I'm talking to a French Canadian, and you know everything about the neighborhood where I grew up.
So it was a fry. I remember now the name. It's a terrible terrible store. I mean, you go out and never you spend hours there. It's when I was there and. Like looking for every DVD bucket, it's like a cavern d'Ali Baba. It's like there was a lot of good stuff when you were looking for them, actually.
Amazing. Well, that's another film I have to see. You're not Jewish, right?
And I'm not. As I told you, I grew up with in a French school, and in this French school, I grew up mostly with Arabs and Jews. My best friends are Arabs and Jews here in Montreal, mostly from Lebanon and mostly from Israel. So all the Middle Eastern reality, I grew up in them, you know, so all the I know a lot about politics in the Middle East thanks to them. And so it had a very big influence on who I am. And for example, the next web series that I'm going to do, I have two characters that are Israelis and two characters that are from Lebanon.
That's so interesting. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, it had a very, very important impact on me. I mean, we're all like brother and sister, because it was a small school and we grew up together. We from our 6 years old to 18 years old. So it's like sorority or something. This is what you call it in America, like people that, you know, even after 10 or 15 years that you don't see each other, then you have a service you need to ask, like a doctor, oh, my father has a cancer, can you help me? Yeah, he's gonna, even if he didn't talk to you for 15 years, he's gonna help you, because, you know, we grew up together. So, and I have some Jewish descent. My father's family is, when you go back in time, like 150 years old, my name is mostly a Jewish name, my last name, but it's long time ago.
So interesting. I mean, I'm Jewish, like many people. It feels like a lot of people in LA are, and had some friends growing up who came from Israel.
Yeah,
but I just find it fascinating. I only got to visit Israel once. But
yeah, lucky you! I've never been there.
Oh,
planning. Actually, it's our plan to for our honeymoon. We don't have time now, but with Aurélien, we're planning to go there for our honeymoon, because he is an interior architect and a set decorator, and he loves Bauhaus, the style Bauhaus Art Deco, and Tel Aviv. It's called the White City, because it's all, most of the building are Bauhaus. Bauhaus style. So he wants to go there just to, you know, take a lot of pictures, and I want to go there for the food, because I love hummus and I think their food is amazing.
Yeah, I've only been to Jerusalem. I had never got to go to Tel Aviv.
No.
So, and I found, you know, it's funny. I felt a deeper connection, like in Istanbul and in Rome. I feel, you know, when I travel in Europe, everyone walks up to me and speaks Italian.
Yeah, oh, that's funny.
And then, yeah, I've been in the Paris in Charles de Gaulle, and an Italian walks up to me and starts speaking in Italian, asking me for directions. And I go, I'm sorry, I'm an American. I don't speak anything.
But you have Italian origins?
Not really. More, but off the Black Sea and the Mediterranean, so
okay.
So pretty much everyone around the Mediterranean, you know, yeah. I can pass for a local from Tangier to Istanbul to Rome.
Yes, it's
kind of convenient. And funny enough, like with that cough, I'm sorry you had to hear my cough, but when I am on the Mediterranean, My whole body feels, my skin feels better, my lungs feel better.
I just
love that warmth and humidity.
Yeah. It's an amazing place. Sardinia is amazing.
Sardinia, Corsica. Yeah, somewhere where you have the French
but
government.
You shouldn't complain, since you live in an amazing city under the sun.
I love, absolutely. I'm not complaining about, although I have said, you know, I just wish I was wealthy enough that, you know, because LA, you know, it's been under 70 degrees for a few months now.
Yes.
70 yes, Fahrenheit. Yeah. It's untenable. I need to spend my summers in Mexico or something. I mean, my winters.
Well, I'm, for example, here today, it's a warm day, and it's around 35 Fahrenheit degrees.
Yeah, that's so cold.
So, you know, so this is a warm day, because like a week ago, it was minus 20.
Yeah, so, with the polar
Yeah, Vortex that came saying hi to us. Like, Chicago was worse than Montreal, but yeah. But you know, it's not the January or February the problem. It's more March and April. In April, when beginning of April, you see snow that is coming down. Oh my God, you're so depressed.
Yeah, you get cheated out of your spring.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, we are looking forward. Pretty much March will be warm again.
Yeah, well, I hope next winter when I come, it's gonna be, because I came last January last year, and it was like almost 80 degrees. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.